Well, good evening to each of you. Bring you greetings in our Savior's name. I also bring you greetings from the church at Mount Olive, Hagerstown. I'm here this evening with my wife, Sonia. We have two children, Tristan, and he's married and lives in Guatemala. Tristan and Bethany live there. Her daughter, Olivia, still lives at home with us. I think she turns 20 in another week. We have a bonus son. His name's Brian from the community that came to live with us a number of years ago. And he's married as well, married to Gabby. And they're expecting their first child here yet this year. As I thought about this message, reaching the hearts of our children, it felt a little difficult to prepare. If you're typing things and then those words stare back at you, you start to meditate a little bit on parenting. You start to meditate a little bit about, it's humbling just to pause and reflect on my family. I'm very blessed. I've failed many times in my interactions with my children, my response to them, and in my example to them. Christian parenting is a challenge. It's even difficult by times. And even with God's grace and wisdom, it's difficult. And tonight, I just want to encourage those of you that are young parents. I'm blessed to see all the young parents here, the children. So you're in the middle of it. You're kind of in the heat of the battle. And as you well know, not all of children's personalities are the same, and not all parents are the same. And in my mind, and maybe I've missed the objective, but we're talking about two things. One is that our children, that they would rise up and call us blessed as they think about their parents. And then the other thought is that they would embrace our faith as their own. And that's the two tracks that I kind of want to go down with the message. Homes where love and respect flows both ways between parents and children. And then as they mature, that they would come to appreciate the faith that we have shown to them, or that we have exampled. We want to reach the hearts of our children, but we also want to be intentional about passing on our faith. It's important to understand that those two things are very closely tied together. But each of our children are individuals. They have free will. And I've observed many children who would seem like they had a great relationship with their parents. And you would even say that they have respect and they show honor to their parents, but they've chosen to leave the faith that they were raised in. And I'm not here to judge that or speak to that this evening. There's many factors that come into play in those situations. And so I cannot really include that in the message this evening. I don't want to make any kind of blanket statements about that. But we're considering this thing of reaching the hearts of our children. We should admit that the responsibility largely falls on our shoulders as parents. And it comes down to our love for them as children and the Christian environment that we raise them in and the grace of God. Psychologists, social experts, whatever you want to call them, will tell you that everyone is a product of their environment, and that as humans we have very little to do with who we are and that the decisions that we make in life. And by the time a child is just a few years old, everything that they are has already been established and has kind of taken effect. Wealthy parents teach their children how to handle money. Well-disciplined parents teach their children about the importance of organization. You teach them about the importance of healthy eating and healthy lifestyles. Educated parents put priority on education and getting a good education. And conversely, homes where there's anger and violence produce children and respond to the stresses of life with violence and anger. And marriages that end in divorce produce children that struggle with healthy marriages. And homes filled with chaos produce chaotic children. And those are facts. Those are indisputable facts. That statement is correct. The environment that we raise our children in is extremely important to their development and ultimately to our ability to reach their hearts. But that statement is also only partially correct. That this thing of environment only position is flawed. It leaves out a God factor. And if you're a Christian parent tonight, there's so much that you can do about the environment that your children are raised in. And that's largely what we're looking at tonight. But don't ever minimize the grace of God. Each of our children enter our homes with a sin nature and a bent towards sin. And the environment that we raise them in is extremely important. And that's the main focus of the message. But the root issue of each of our children is this thing of their heart. An environment, very, very important. But it isn't sovereign. As Christian parents, we team with God and to influence them in the paths of righteousness. And whenever they reach an age of understanding, they reach an age of accountability, of coming to an awareness of who they are and their standing before God, that we want to have already been able to reach their hearts and touch their hearts and have a heart that is soft toward the voice of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, and that they would respond with a yes toward God. And a surrender of their life to Him. But the God factor is this. God's power is not limited to environment. Many godly men and women have come from deeply broken homes. Others are raised in truth. We'd even say a good environment, but have taken a path away from God. God has given each of us and each of our children free will. So don't ever boast in your parenting, nor despair in your failure, because God's grace will reach beyond environment. And as a parent, it might seem like we have failed at times, especially if our children choose a different path or they left the faith altogether. There are difficult things to go through as parents. I've not experienced that heartache. I've come close to it. And I'm still praying for all my children that they would continue their walk with God, that they would consider the path of their feet. And I hope that each of you continue to pray for your children. Don't ever stop praying for your children. As I said, I haven't experienced the heartache of my children choosing a different path or walking away from God. And if you have, God's grace to you, it's not my intention to twist that knife in your stomach tonight. But maybe I can give you some encouragement to stay faithful and keep on keeping on. The question I want to consider this evening is how can we as parents bring these two things together to influence the environment that our children are being raised in and also pass on our faith and values to them. Mutual love and respect between children and parents, and then to example our faith in ways that they choose of their own free will to embrace the faith. I don't really have a 10-step plan for that. I don't have a book to recommend other than the Bible. There's a lot of good books. There's a lot of good teaching about parenting. I don't want to downplay that. But I also think it comes back to some fairly basic principles of Scripture that we want to look at. And I'm sure that each of you know this, but I want you to be convinced of it tonight. You can force correct behavior on a child, but you cannot force them to have a heart connection with you. They're going to choose that. They're going to choose to accept you reaching out to them. The message title suggests that, to reach the hearts of our children. And that connection is what we're looking for. It's what we're talking about. That connection is the foundation for their relationship with God and their connection with God. Just a couple scriptures for you to consider. Take you to Proverbs 31. It might seem odd to you that we look at Proverbs 31 there and the virtuous woman. But as you think about all of her traits, all of the way that she cares for her family, just God-fearing woman, she's very wise, very selfless, very caring, very nurturing. And the conclusion of this passage, verse 28, verse 27, I'll start there. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou hast excelled them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And isn't it true that each of us would desire our children to mature and come to the point that they look at us at some point and say, my parents have been a tremendous blessing in my life. How can I bless them? I want to live a life that blesses my parents. And that's not going to happen automatically. We're going to have to do our part. We're going to have to be the blessing in their life. We need to responsibly perform this role of godly parenting and creating that atmosphere, that environment where they grow in their relationship with God and they grow in their relationship with us. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, Paul here is admonishing the church at Colossae on how the members were to conduct themselves after they had become believers. They had become followers of this way, of this new way. And they had become believers in Jesus Christ. And he's talking to them about how they should relate to each other. And then as he continues writing this letter to them, it kind of segues into this thing about marriage and about family. Just want to read Colossians 3. I'm going to start, just break in at verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So this is how he was telling them how to conduct themselves. And then he continues to talk about how that they should relate to each other. Verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then it moves into family relationships. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So that's marriages. And then it comes into the family. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then he speaks to fathers again. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I was thinking about this thing and about scriptures, so many different scriptures that we could turn to about for a basis or a foundation, scriptural foundation for reaching the hearts of our children. And maybe this is a little simplistic. But if our children can witness us in all honesty, in all openness, living this out, and how we relate with ourselves, how we conduct ourselves, how we conduct ourselves with others in the brotherhood, how we conduct ourselves, husbands and wives, how we relate to each other, how we relate to our children. If they could see us living out those verses I just read, I think it's very foundational to this thing of reaching the hearts of our children. And I feel like I could probably stand up here for the next hour and talk about things that are really important to this subject, like spending quality time with our children, how to meet the individual needs of our children, how to meet the those needs vary from child to child, how to be alert to our children's fears and their insecurities. How to be fair with our children. How to be fair in discipline. We're going to talk about the importance of not having favorites among our children. And those are all great points. They're actually very valid points to this subject. Very key. But for them to witness us day in and day out, living the Christian life the way it's described here in this passage, is going to impact them more, I think, than maybe all those things, those other things combined. Because we will have encapsulated many of those concerns by just how we conduct ourselves. The love that Christ showed to us being reflected back in our daily lives. Our children have a front row seat at that. They get to watch how mom and dad interact between themselves, how they get along with others in the church, how they get along with church structure and authority, how they get along with those that are outside the church, how they get along with neighbors, how they get along with government. Many homes today overcompensate in some areas because they're grossly failing in others. And you can ask a child that's living in a home with parents that are fighting and there's stress and bickering. You can ask that child if they'd like a special day filled with undivided attention and all the pampering that they can imagine and gifts, or if they would like for their parents to come to lasting peace between themselves, between one another. And I would have to guess that they would choose that their parents would live together in peace. So living out the Christian life in our everyday walk, loving our fellow men, loving our fellow church members, loving our marriage partners, your children are watching and coming to some powerful conclusions about who you really are. When they can see that what we profess lines up with how we actually live, like I said, they have a front row seat to watch that. It sends a compelling message to our children. A consistent life. One where children know what to expect. They're not walking around on pins and needles trying to sniff out what the mood of the day is going to be. They can be relaxed. They can know what to expect. A stable, peaceful home where children see their parents interacting with each other with love and forbearance. Mom and dad that truly love each other. Children very quickly can detect stress, and often they misinterpret the cause of it. And I've read that many times they come to the conclusion, this is in marriages that are fractured to the point where they're breaking apart. Many times children come to the conclusion that the cause of that breakup is them. And they internalize that friction, they internalize that trauma, and it causes them lasting damage. But for them to watch, for our children to watch how we react to things, how we react to injustices, how we react to criticism, how we meet the needs of the less fortunate around us. What about things like honesty and integrity? Police officer walks up to the window and said, "Did you have your seatbelt on when you passed me back there?" Would anybody boldly lie to a police officer with their child sitting right beside them? I hope not. But what about the less obvious things? Hunting laws, DOT laws, things that just seem annoying to us, nonsensical to us. Are we speaking respect in those situations? Respect of authority? Don't think that you can ask in good faith for your child's obedience and respect to the rules that you set up in your home if you can't give it to the authority structures that are over you, that are in your life, whether that's government or employer or an inspector or government or whatever. This passage that I was reading, I stopped reading in verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Fathers, provoke not your children and make them angry by requiring compliance and submission from them when you don't example it in your life. Scripture here uses the word discouraged. It puts our children in a position of doubt from what they see and what they hear. They have to somehow or another make those things correlate, and they don't. They can't make sense of it. Children become frustrated with us as parents because that's not honesty. It's not integrity. It's not authentic. We appear to them, because maybe we are, fakes or some kind of fraud, and they begin to doubt. And they begin to lose trust and faith in us as their parents. And all these things, I'm speaking in the negative here, but these things work against this goal of ours to reach the hearts of our children. What I'm speaking about, we can summarize into things like transparency and honesty. I think those are very important things to consider, maybe primary, about our personal integrity, transparency, how we're actually living out the life day in and day out that we profess. I think the second most powerful thing in reaching the hearts of our children is our response whenever we fail. It's our response whenever we make mistakes. How we respond when we realize that we've messed up and we've made a mistake, when God shows us where we got it wrong. Have your children ever heard you say, "I'm sorry, I spoke very harshly. I was wrong. I jumped to conclusions. I'm sorry, I corrected you out of frustration. I'm sorry, I raised my voice," or just say it, "I yelled. I'm sorry for what you heard me say to Mom. I already asked her forgiveness, and now I ask for yours." Have your children ever heard you say those kind of things? I'm just touching on a few practical things, but I want to mention at least one more, and it's this thing of of justice and fairness and discipline. We believe that the Scripture's clear that we need to set up rules and we need to set boundaries for our children and then expect that they will obey them after we've given them clearly. And I don't really feel like getting into a message on child training and discipline, but I will say this, that much of the stress that's in homes today, and unfortunately even in Anabaptist homes, between parents and children just doesn't need to be there. It just doesn't need to be there. There is an age that you need not explain yourself or your reasons for the rule or the how you came to the decision that you came to. Because I said so is a valid answer. When a child's determined to challenge that and cause chaos in the home by disobedience, you're doing both them and yourself and even the other children in the home a disservice by trying to reason with them and bargain with them for compliance. Discipline is a part of reaching the hearts of our children. It's about restoring order to their life. And it's a fact that discipline that is carried out with love and carried out with fairness brings a child to a point of surrender that's very much a part of helping them develop a heart that's turned toward you and turned toward God. And you're not going to win every battle. And you can write that down if you're young parents tonight. You're not going to win every battle. Some things need worked at over time with your children. It's going to be an ongoing work. But look for improvement and acknowledge it. Use wisdom in meting out a punishment that fits the transgression or fits the crime. It's a serious mistake to discipline so severely that you break a child's spirit. That's actually working against you in establishing a relationship with them, to reaching the hearts of our children, the ability to reach their heart. Reaching our children's heart is going to involve discipline that restores a child back into a relationship where you and them are both at peace. And the relationship that we have with our children is not designed to be that of a friend-buddy relationship, but rather it's one of respect. That they respect you as their parent, and you respect them as a child that you love and you're willing to discipline when necessary. But I also say that I think that warm mutual respect, especially maybe in older ones, can involve a home where there's laughter, and maybe even a few inside jokes, maybe even some good-natured poking fun at one another can reduce the stress sometimes. About 5 years ago, I was working near D.C. and leaving very early in the morning. And so we had this time that I wanted to be in the truck. And my two sons were of the age that they were going to work with me. And I don't remember what time we were leaving, other than it was early. It might have been like 5 o'clock or something. And they would get up just in time to get to the truck and fall asleep. And then as we got to this job, I would stop and buy breakfast sandwiches for them. And before we got to the job, well, one morning I decided that I would make breakfast at home. And I just fried eggs. And that was not a good decision. One of them declined immediately, wasn't hungry. And that kind of annoyed me. And the other one looked in the pan and he said, What's in with the eggs? And I said, it's roast beef. It's leftover roast beef. And he had rolled up his nose. He said, nah, it's all right. And I went a little past annoyed. I just turned the stove off and I had a cast iron pan and I just slid it over on the other burner. Left it go. We left, went, got in the truck, went to work. I don't think I said anything. But anyway, that evening, and I probably should have tipped Sonia off what happened, she asked about it at supper time. Why was there a pan on the stove with eggs in it this morning? And Brian said, well, we almost had World War III. And it kind of offended me because I wasn't completely over it yet. And they thought it was funny. Anyway, so they told this story to her. It was grossly exaggerated. But anyway, they've probably told that story, I don't know, a dozen times since. And each time, they add to it. You might not agree with me, but I think there's times that we as parents just have to laugh at ourselves and how we handled a situation. And I've told them that the only thing that blesses me is that we can all three laugh about it together. They can exaggerate it all they want. It really doesn't bother me anymore. Our relationship with our children changes as we get older, as they get older. When children come into our homes, our primary responsibility toward them is survival. We care for them, because if we don't care for them, something bad's going to happen. You know, whether it's feeding them or keeping them cool or keeping them warm, you know, those temperature things. And then it changes as they get older. Now we're more about their emotional stability, helping them to get along with other children and get along with themselves and get along with siblings. And we start, even at those young ages, what are we doing? Well, we're preparing them for independence. There's a day that they're going to walk out of our home and be on their own. That's the goal of parenting, to take them to a place that they leave dad and mom and start their own homes and families. And that's not the case for every child, but at least to the place of independence from us as parents is normal. And that in itself takes wisdom, and it takes love, and it takes mutual respect to help a child move toward independence. But at the same time, the child have enough of respect and love toward mom and dad that they want mom and dad's input in their life. And there are families that seem like that by God's grace, they get everything just right. And there's others that struggle intensely at that point. Those late teenage years become a time of great stress. As I said, we've experienced some of that. I won't lay all the blame at my children's feet. I didn't handle everything correctly. We made plenty of mistakes. My only point is that if you're a young couple or a young family here this evening, to take careful heed to this thing of living a life of godly example and transparency combined with this thing of discipline, godly discipline. You can force behavior. You can force behavior, but you cannot force a connection with your child. You can only, with God's grace, set the stage for that connection. Before I leave this part of the message, I want to speak to something that seems like maybe it's a trend in our Mennonite culture. And it's this thing of teens with the attitude, it's my money, it's my decision. I don't need mom and dad's input or approval. And if you're a teenager here this evening, I just implore you to consider this thing, this mindset. It's not a respectful position. It's coming on as fast as a church. I really feel like, I don't know whether you feel it or not, but it's coming to us primarily because of affluence, that a young guy or girl can get out of school and very quickly land a job that pays unbelievable wages. In just a few years, they can have money and be making purchases and making decisions that they're not mentally or emotionally or spiritually ready to make. And that concerns me. It's not a good path for them spiritually. It's not a good path for a respectful relationship between mom and dad whenever a child has the attitude that I'll do what I want, I earned it. And I think it's a new challenge. It's going to take even more effort on our part as parents to establish a relationship of mutual respect with our children very early in life to be able to kind of navigate some of that. I want to consider this thing of passing on our faith as part of the discussion on reaching the hearts of our children. As Christian parents, this is a very key part of our responsibility. to maintain a relationship with our children where early on in life they're attracted to the things of God. They're attracted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they mature enough to fully grasp and understand their need before God, understand their need for a Savior, that they reach out to us in that time to help them with this decision, this burden that they have. And then for them to follow in the Anabaptist faith, and for them to love this faith and embrace it as their own. And there is a time that children do this almost subconsciously, because many in their friend group or in their youth group are making these decisions. And they see this, what our family does. We go to a Mennonite church on Sunday morning, and we're involved in activities in our community. And then it seems like as they get a little bit older, they start to question all of that. They start to ask questions to themselves, ask questions to us as parents. Maybe it can seem like that they're even challenging us, challenging our faith. And to be there for our children and allow them to ask the questions and then to be able to give them some coherent answers is a big part of being able to reach the heart of your children. If you don't have children of that age yet, let me just tell you, it's coming. To be able to give our young people a coherent answer about our faith, why we do what we do, even the traditions that we hold dear. Again, honesty and transparency and humility play a big role in this. And them feeling comfortable enough to engage with us. And again, sometimes it feels like a challenge. It feels like that they're even challenging us. And I can tell you that from my own experience, my first reaction was to push back hard against that. And I'm not saying that's always wrong. But for me, I came to the place that that approach was not working. I had to be able to explain why I felt that some of the things that we do are important to me. Part of the independence that they're coming to is hard for us as parents to experience, because they're coming to their own conclusions. And not all of it do we have control over. Some of the conclusions they're arriving at have to do with others and what they're watching there too. And a relationship with them that allows them to engage with us, I think, is a very important part of passing on our faith. And again, you can demand their compliance, and it will work for a while. But I've seen some disasters that came from that approach too. I've seen youth get in a dating relationship and marry very early in life just to escape that compliance requirement of mom and dad. And then they have independence, and they make some very serious choices without parents' input. And I don't need to tell you that those choices are often heartbreaking. But this thing of passing on our faith happens primarily in three ways. Now, I want to take you to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I would love to, I don't know if I have time to read this chapter or not. But Moses here has a burden for Israel, for the next generation, lest they forget God and turn to idols. And it's mentioned many times through this book of Deuteronomy. And I don't think I am going to read it. And you may be very familiar with it. It's one that I've heard read many times. Has to do, there's lots of things here that can be paralleled to passing on our faith. And I just encourage you to read this passage and think about the burden that Moses had for the children of Israel. And when we think about raising our families with any level of Christian diligence, and that we're going to share the same burden that he shared here in this passage in Deuteronomy 6. Yes, these were God's children, and yes, our children are God's children. But the fact that God has entrusted these children into our care brings a great responsibility. It's a heavy thing. It's a heavy thing to know that we're responsible for our children. And if we're going to have any hope of our children embracing the Christian faith and Anabaptist values, then we're going to have to be intentional about how we go about that. And as I said, I think it comes through teaching, and that seems very, very basic. Almost it goes without saying, but it still needs to happen. It's possible that by distraction or by neglect, that it doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen the way it should, and then we rely on the preacher or the school teacher to do the teaching. Moses said here in this passage, he said that you might fear the Lord, and you keep them for multiple generations, and that your days would be prolonged, and that it might go well with thee, that you might increase mightily. It's not just talking about numbers and quantity. That's talking about that spiritually and emotionally that they would increase mightily. And we want the same thing for our children. We want them to fear the Lord, not just today, not just until they move out of our house and get married and start their own homes, but for the entirety of their lives and their children and the next generation. We want them to be living lives that are spiritually rewarding and beneficial for them personally, but not just for themselves, for everyone that they come in contact with, for their whole sphere of influence, that they could have a connection there, that they could know that they love the Lord, that they're exemplifying Christ's love, and that they are expanding the kingdom of Jesus Christ where they wind up at. What is it that Moses wanted them to know and never forget? That the Lord our God is one Lord, and they need to show that through devotion and obedience. Love the Lord with all thine heart, all thy soul, and all thy might, he says. And they were to do this a couple ways. They were to do it by verbal teaching, and they were to do it with tangible reminders about who they were, about their history, where they came from, their story. And we should be doing the same thing, taking every opportunity to influence your children for the truth, to influence your children about God, about who God is. Every sermon, every song, every church devotional, every family devotional, every Sunday school class, every Bible memory passage that they bring home from school, every Bible story that you read to them, every grace said at mealtimes, every bedtime prayer, we're pushing this message of God onto their impressionable hearts. Every teachable moment and opportunity is pushing that truth to our children. Society will tell you that you're brainwashing your children. And yet they allow Disney and Cartoon Network to brainwash their children. These are very effective methods at young age to put something in front of them that can be memorized, that they can recall easily. Teaching our children to recognize God from all of his handiwork that we see in creation and whatever part of creation that interests you and interests them. Not all children have the same interest. Sometimes it's, you know, animals, and sometimes it's bugs, and sometimes it's trees and leaves. And what is it that interests them and that you can connect with them on and show them God's handiwork? Teach them that God's promises are true. Teach them that we live out our Christian faith through a value system and a practice that we appreciate and we embrace because it's been helpful for us. It's been helpful for me. And it helps me live out my Christian life. It helps me live in obedience to the Word of God. And that practice, that value system, we call it Anabaptist or you call it Mennonite. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to be proud of. But rather, it's to be appreciated for the traditions, for the culture that's been a benefit to us and how it helps maintain scriptural principles. We have something that's been a real blessing to us as a church, and I hope that you agree, and I hope that you're determined to help pass on some of that, all of it, from the doctrines that set us apart, from the Protestants to the historical traditions, to the cultural icons that we still hold to. If you see a benefit in any of those things, then we must teach them to our children in the context of honesty, in the context of being authentic. Don't call them essential for salvation if they're not, but rather present them as something that's been a help to us in the past and at a level of benefit that we feel it's necessary to continue to live out the scripture mandates. And these things can't just be taught and, you know, sit down and go over a list of things that I now want, you know, I'll read the discipline to you again, Johnny. It's not going to work that way. We have to example these things. We're going to have to appreciate and embrace these things on a deep enough a level that our children catch the vision and they appreciate them for what they are. And that's this thing of exampling. And this teaching method is far more effective than teaching, verbal teaching alone and preaching alone. Our children, certainly our teens, soon figure out what's important enough to mom and dad and what might be optional. Your children will figure that out pretty quickly. But when verbal teaching and exampling comes together in a consistent practice and in tangible and meaningful ways, we have the best possible, the most effective, I should say, way possible to pass on our faith to our children. Children need to see us in situation that challenges our values. They need to hear about how we took a loss to maintain a testimony with a customer. They need to hear us admit that a vote or a decision that happened at church isn't how we wanted it to go. That isn't how we wanted to see it. But here we are, and we're going to support it for the sake of unity. I think our children need to hear us honestly at the right age have that discussion. And then they witness us supporting it with a good attitude. One of the burdens that I have for our young people is that many of our traditions and practices are only being carried out because that's what the church expects, and it's going to be the easiest way to get along with mom and dad because it's what they expect of them. And so just on those two things alone, I will do it. Is a church service worth getting dressed up for? What answers are you giving about why you wear a plain suit? Can you give a cohesive, coherent answer? Can you example it? Do you ever example it? Or do you feel like that formal dress is only for the sisters? And don't get me wrong, I appreciate whenever teens follow the church guidelines and they don't fully appreciate it or they don't fully embrace it, but yet they're going to go along with it and they're going to try to support it at least on some level, even if they don't maybe see the value of it. But it's possible, I believe, that as adults that we're failing to transmit the value that has been to us, the value of the tradition. Has it maybe lost some of its meaning in our own minds? We can't drop all these things, conservative practices and traditions, and even scoff at some of them, and then kind of expect that our children are just suddenly going to pick them up and embrace it for themselves. It's not going to happen. We need to see the value in these things. We need to teach the value of these things, an example in the value. There's one more imperative if we're going to see the faith passed on to our children, and it's this thing of being on guard and guarding, watching against the influence of society and the culture around us. You say, well, how does that tie in with reaching the hearts of our children? Well, part of reaching the hearts of our children is keeping away some of the influences that's going to put up barriers in their heart. One of the primary responsibilities that we have as parents is to protect. And we do this out of a love for our children. It's almost instinctive, that mama bear instinct to protect her cubs from danger. And so much of our children's early years were concerned for their safety and well-being. And it was hard for me to leave off that concern. I grew up with a dad that was very safety conscious. And I can still hear him telling me stories of farming accidents that he believed were avoidable and how we should make sure that this is in place and Don't take that risk. It's unnecessary. And other boys were running choppers in school, and I was privileged to be scraping the barnyard with a Ferguson 35. And I thought that was horribly unfair, but it really went back to something that safety was a big thing to him. I'm off topic. But we're concerned about our children's physical safety. And I hope we are, but we should also be equally concerned for their spiritual safety. You hand a teen an iPhone without any safeguards or filters, you can expect a disaster. You let them put on a virtual reality gaming headset and walk away, you can expect a disaster. Be involved with your children's lives as they mature, especially through their teen years. They have relationships that are concerning to you. Be very careful. Be very careful about that. Friends and associates that are spending time with. How can you raise your concern with your children about their friends? Be very careful. These are sensitive, but sometimes it's important to address that. Can they hear your concern without you tearing down the other person or tearing down another family? What about media? What media are they consuming? What podcasts are they listening to? What music makes up their playlist? Are you having conversations about these things? This is if you want to have a conversation about that, you're going to have to be able to establish a relationship with your child before you get to those conversations. But inquire about that. Voice your concerns. Use wisdom and gentleness, but don't just throw up your hands in defeat. If you're struggling with this thing of reaching your child's heart, and it maybe even seems hopeless to you, I beg you to not give up. You're not alone. God is with us. God's grace is there to cover mistakes and failures if we're living honestly and openly before Him. God wants us to come to Him with our burdens for our families, for our children. And I just want to close with this encouragement. All of us that are here this evening are here because God used other people in our lives to direct us here. Most of us can point to that as godly parents. Imperfect in many ways, but they showed you love and they exampled Jesus Christ to you. And if it wasn't parents, if the parents failed, then you know someone else that exampled it to you. Someone else did that for you. And I just want you to consider that. I want you to just consider doing something about that. Would you be willing to tell whoever that person is, if it's your parents, great. If it's someone else, would you be willing to tell them how much a blessing they have been in your life and you remaining faithful? Be willing to express your gratitude toward those that have taught and exampled faithfulness to you. We don't have to face these challenges alone. God is with us. I feel like I'm speaking to a group tonight that wants that for each other, as a church, as a community of believers. You want that for each other. You want to see each other's families doing well. It's not a competition type thing. We're here to encourage one another. The responsibility ultimately lies with us as parents. It lies on our shoulders. And so take up the challenge of relationships and bless those that have exampled this to you, but most of all, never give up. Even in the face of failures and disappointments, don't give up. There's an older couple in our community that's had the heartache of several of their children making decisions to leave the faith altogether. And he admits that what those mistakes were as parents, and much of it involved this thing of forcing compliance without having the child's heart, and some of the very things that we're thinking about tonight and talking about. But I'm blessed to watch how he relates to his children. You see, if I was in his shoes, I'd say it's probably too late. I would feel like, you know, the children did, they made their decisions, they went off and lived the life that they wanted to live. What's the use? They're now going to live with the consequences. But he's very faithful in how he relates to his children and finding ways to establish relationships with them and their and his grandchildren. And I know that the heartache is still there. I know the sadness is still there, but they haven't given up. They haven't given up. And I remind him and I remind you, the story's not written yet. We're still writing this story of our lives, and our children's life is still being written. And it can go either way. It still can. Don't give up. Your children's eternal destiny is at stake. If your parents here this evening, pray for God's grace and wisdom and be willing to put in the effort to establish relationships with your children, even whenever that can be difficult. Dads, the best thing you're going to be able to do for your children in establishing, reaching their hearts, establishing relationships with them, is for you to love their mother. Moms, the best thing that you can do is to love God and love your husband through submission to him taking the lead in the home. And so may God bless each of you as you continue to reach the hearts of your children. And God grants you each wisdom as you live from day to day and example the Christian life to your family with openness and with honesty and with integrity. Stay faithful. Never give up. God bless you each. Shall we kneel for prayer? Let's